if you're a policymaker and if you really care about solving the unemployment issue, one of the things you really need to do is to fix your power sector.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. A reliable electricity supply in high-income countries, well, we take it for granted. Importantly, so do the entrepreneurs and investors and managers who rely on electrical power to run and grow the businesses that provide our jobs. So in parts of the world where that reliable electricity supply just doesn't exist, what is the effect on employment? Justice Taimensa of the World Bank is the first person to publish research about the impact on employment of electricity outages in Africa. And he joins me now. Justice, welcome to Vox Dev Talks.
Thanks, Tim. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
It's a pleasure to have you here. First of all, give us some background. In Africa, how common are these electricity outages?
Tim, I wish I could say uncommon, but unfortunately, it is very common. Anyone who has spent some time in the region will attest to how prevalent power cuts are.
Mm-hmm.
The duration and the intensity may vary from city or country, but the bottom line is that they are very regular. Now, just to put some numbers on this, according to the World Bank Enterprise Survey, about 73% of firms in the region report experiencing power outages.
Wow.
On average, these firms experience 8 episodes of power outages in a typical month. That gives you a sense of how severe it is. Just another example, South Africa, which we consider to be one of the countries in the region with the highest levels of infrastructure quality, are currently going through blackouts. This tells you that this is a major problem in the region that requires urgent attention.
If it happens all the time, but unpredictably all the time, how can firms manage this problem day to day?
To be honest, I think it's a real struggle for firms in the region. Data shows that more than half of the firms in the region rely on backup generators. When the electricity goes off, then they switch on their backup generators to be able to get some power. This does not come without a cost. It is quite expensive. Electricity generated from backup generators costs 3 times more than the power that you get from the grid. Firms are really in a squeeze here.
There has been some previous research into this, looking at its impact on firm productivity and profits. I think we covered this once before on Vox Dev Talks. What has that previous research discovered?
This outage is not something peculiar to only Africa. It's common in many of the developing world. And so, as usual, economists are always looking for problems to look at, right? And so there's been quite a number of research that have looked at how outages are affecting firms. Just to give you a couple of examples. So Hans Alcott, who is now at Stanford and co-authors, published a paper in the American Economic Review in 2016, where they used data from India and to be able to estimate the extent to which outages are affecting the performance of firms in India. And they find that these outages reduce firm revenue by about 5 to 10%. Another recent paper by Amar Abebrese at Wesley College and a co-author published in the World Bank Economic Review in 2021 used data from Ghana and are able to find similar effects showing that outages reduce firm productivity by about 10%. And finally, there's another paper published in the Journal of Development Economics by Cole et al., where they basically show that if Africa is able to provide reliable electricity for firms, firm profitability could double by but can increase by about 100%.
Wow.
In spite of all of these, we don't really know to what extent this affects the labor market, right? And that was the entry point for my paper.
So let's talk about how this affects the labor market. In this research, how many countries in Africa were you able to analyze, get data from?
I would say cumulatively from 29 sub-Saharan African countries. And the reason for trying to get data from more countries is that I wanted to provide a comprehensive analysis of the situation. And so by so doing, I compiled data from households, firms, and proprietary data on FDI investment in 29 African countries to be able to undertake these analysis.
And because you have these 29 countries, does that mean that you're pretty confident that the analysis that you can provide is typical of the experience in Africa?
Absolutely. So these countries include the regular suspects. You have the Nigeria, the Ghana, the Senegal, the South Africa, the Zambia, just to name a few. And so I'm pretty confident it covers a comprehensive picture of the situation in sub-Saharan Africa.
Whether it's the regular or not the regular suspects, when you're doing this analysis, I would guess that power outages, they're not random, are they? I can imagine plenty of things that would affect a power outage and also affect the labour market. So how do you manage to get a causal effect of power outages on jobs?
I think this speaks to the core of modern research in economics, right?
Mm-hmm.
As you know, the identification revolution in economics now places a very high bar on causal identification. And so imagine in a real world where I had superpowers, I could select communities into treatment and control, right?
Yeah.
And then I will switch off the light for one group and then observe the outcomes. And then at the end of the day, be able to compare the outcomes. But even if I had that powers, maybe I guess that would not be deemed ethical, would it? But I mean, the fortunate thing is that in the real world, I have no superpowers. And so obviously the incidence of outages are not random, but the economics also offers additional approaches for us to be able to use non-experimental techniques to be able to identify the causal impact of our studies. And so in this paper, I use quite a number of them. So I use the instrumental variable approach. I use difference in difference, synthetic control, and a fixed effect estimator. Why so many estimators in a single paper? At least there are two reasons. The first was that, given that this is not an experimental study, I need to be able to provide confidence that to a large extent that my estimates are causal. But more importantly, I evaluate different case studies. And so for each particular case, a specific method might be the one that fits best. So in the baseline analysis where I pull the data from all these countries together, using an instrumental variable approach, I basically use lightning strikes as an instrument. Tim, you may have lived in a place where during a thunderstorm, lightning strikes, and then your power goes off. And the reason for this is that each lightning strike contains billions of electrons. And so once they hit an electric infrastructure, they cause voltage surges. And that ends up destroying the electrical equipment. And the vulnerability of the grid infrastructure to these lightning strikes increases as these equipment ages, right? And so their resistance level tends to decline. In many of the developing world, due to historic underinvestment, the grid infrastructure in most places tends to be weak. And so all you need is that an unexpected lightning strikes, and then you'll be watching your TV and then all of a sudden your TV goes off. And so the variation that I exploit here is the quasi-random nature of the lightning strikes across space and time to be able to estimate the impact of the outages on employment. In the paper, I present different case studies. So there was one in Ghana where I had a pretty cool natural experiment where there was a nationwide blackout for a period of about 3 years, where I used that as a natural experiment and using a difference in difference technique, being able to estimate the effect of the outages on labor market outcomes.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you about those case studies in a second. But first of all, let's get your headline result. What is the effect on employment of power outages?
This is where it's a bit depressing, in the sense that you find a substantially high effect of outages on employment.
Uh-huh.
The estimates from my paper shows that outages reduce the probability of employment by between 5 to 13.5%, depending on the case. And mind you, this is a region with a very young population trying to get a lot of people into employment.
Yeah, it is an extraordinary effect. Now, tell me about these case studies, though. First of all, that power crisis you mentioned in Ghana, the Dumsor power crisis, I think it's called. What happened there?
The term Dumsor, it's a Cree language in Ghana, and basically it means on and off.
All right.
Between 2012 to 2016, that period is probably part of the darkest period, darkest in terms of light, right, in the history of Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because about a period of about 3.5 years, the nation faced a severe power crisis. And the reason for this crisis was that before, the country depended heavily on its two hydro dams. And as we all know, the effect of climatic shocks now. So the consequence was that as a result of these climatic shocks, over time, the productivity of these hydro dams began to decline. This coupled with historic underinvestment in generation and improving the quality of the grid infrastructure meant that at a point in time, there was not enough power to be able to be supplied around, right? At the same time, the country had made massive effort in increasing electrification to somewhere around 85%. So the bottom line was that there was more demand than what the grid could supply. And so the nation was plunged into darkness.
Now, you also chose Nigeria as a case study. What was the problem in Nigeria?
Anybody who has been to Nigeria, there's one common sound you hear across all cities, the sound of a generator.
Yes.
It's very common, either Lagos or Abuja or Kaduna, it's the sound of a generator. And that's largely because the grid supply is unreliable. Households and firms practically rely on generators to be able to survive. These generators are not cheap. Mm-hmm. The cost of running them are very expensive. And so again, the motivation for choosing Nigeria as one of these case studies was also to provide another evidence of how unreliable power supply is depressing employment outcomes in the most populous country in the region.
These things are almost routine. People are used to dealing with problems in this way. But as you say, it has this other very strong economic effect that you've uncovered. You said that a lot of workers in the region are young. What sort of workers are most affected by the problems with intermittent power supply?
This is my favorite part of the whole paper.
Yeah.
I think it's easier to be able to understand that outages will affect employment. But the question is, what type of workers are affected? And so I try to drill deeper into the data. It's fairly intuitive. Economic activities in the non-agricultural sectors are the ones that are heavily dependent on electricity. Imagine a factory worker going to the factory and there's no electricity. What happens to them? Agricultural jobs and unskilled jobs such as caregiving and manual labor, you find zero effect of outages on them. But Tim, there's also another interesting thing that I found. You realize that a lot of the job losses are concentrated in the private sector.
Right.
In fact, in some instances, public sector employment increases. To me, this is a goldmine for political economy considerations. It's not the case of the Dumsor crisis. There was massive outrage in the country. There were a lot of protests, right?
Mm-hmm.
So imagine a government coming under pressure, seeing that people are losing their jobs. What tends to happen is that you tend to see that there's an uptick in employment in the state-owned enterprises. Governments try to minimize this effect by increasing public sector employment, although the net effect is negative because there's a substantial effect on people being laid off in the private sector, and there's only so much that the public sector can absorb. And this gives us another reason for us to really rethink how we manage the power sector, because it could end up crippling even the public sector, like in many of these countries.
This effect is choking off exactly the structural transformation that a huge amount of policy in Africa is designed to create, that movement of into private employment away from the agricultural sector. But tell me, is the main problem here that existing firms just don't grow as much as they could do because they can't be productive enough? Or is it that firms just never get started because entrepreneurs and investors say, I'm not going to start a firm there, I can't get electricity?
Excellent point, Tim. And this really speaks about the channels. I would say it's a combination of both. So this is a region where population levels are increasing. And so you have a lot of people entering into the labor market. Now, even if the existing firms are not laying off people, you still need more firms to enter into the market to be able to absorb the young people entering into the labor market, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In addition, existing firms might need to expand to be able to absorb a lot of these. And so what we find here, it's you could think of these along two margins. So on the extensive margin, what we show in the paper is that because these outages signal high cost of doing business, and the main goal of an entrepreneur or an investor is really about profit. And so if I'm thinking of establishing a business and have two choices, two locations to pick from, conditioning and all other factors, one with a very reliable and stable power, and one where the power goes on and off, where will I go? I would definitely go for the one where power is reliable because I have a high degree of confidence that my cost of doing business is going to go down. And so what I show in the paper is that in the case of the Dumsor power crisis, for instance, the amount of foreign direct investment that went into the country declined substantially. In other jurisdictions also, you tend to find lower entry of even domestic firms into the market when outage levels increases, mainly because it tends to discourage investment. So on the extensive margin, you think of it as a reduction in firm entry. On the intensive margin, outages, even for firms that are able to rely on generators, it costs them a lot. And as has been shown in previous studies, productivity levels goes down, profit goes down, revenue goes down. And so what these incumbent firms tend to do is that to basically lay off people. And so on the one hand, you have a lower number of firms entering into the labor market. On the other hand, even the incumbent firms are laying off people. And that contributes to a significant effect on employment that we find in the paper.
these are huge effects. They are effects that will just never go away unless something is done. And I am sure that there are many people thinking we must do something about this. Well, what policies are possible? What can we do?
So this is where I put on my policymaker hat, right?
Yes.
I think there are a couple of things, but for the sake of time, I'll go to two main ones. I think there's the need for countries in the region to make sustainable investments into the power infrastructure. I think electricity is the bloodline of most modern economies. There are very few things you could do these days without access to electricity, including the podcast that we are having. Without electricity, if my power goes off now, even my Wi-Fi will go off and we will not be able to have this call, right?
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, in many developing countries, there hasn't been sustained investment into improving the quality of the infrastructure. And sometimes these investments tend to be on ad hoc, and that really affects the quality of the services that these grid infrastructure delivers. The second point, it's that I think reforms needs to be implemented to make these utilities much more financially viable.
Uh-huh.
And by this, I'm really speaking to the ability of these utilities to charge cost-reflective tariffs such that the amount, the price they pay, they charge consumers for using electricity, it's enough to be able to pay for the cost of the electricity that they buy from the generators. It is also important for these countries to reduce the extent of political interference in the management of these utilities to be able to ensure that these utilities run like proper companies that are able to deliver on the services. And then finally on this, the regulatory environment in these countries needs to enforce these utilities to be much more accountable and make sure that they deliver proper service to their customers.
These are not new problems. There is some previous evidence before your research on the economic impact. Why has more not been done about this?
One of the main reasons why this hasn't been done on a satisfactory level is the fact that these investments are very expensive. Infrastructure really costs.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, many of these countries don't have enough revenue. And so it's more like a vicious cycle. You don't have enough revenue to invest. And so because of that, your economies are not doing well and to be able to even generate much more revenue. But the bottom line is that if these infrastructure investments are expensive and many of these countries don't have enough revenue to do that. Elsewhere in the developed world, they've managed to attract private capital into the infrastructure investment. But the experience in many of these developing countries, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa, in terms of attracting private capital into infrastructure investment hasn't been that impressive. I know there are efforts in many countries to try to enhance, attract much more private investment through PPPs,
mm-hmm.
but there's a lot more room for improvement. The second one, which might sound controversial, but I think it's very important, is what I call the overemphasis on access over quality.
Right.
And I'll explain. So in times past, the development priorities of governments and in fact, many development institutions were more focused on expanding access and even at the expense of quality. A good example is the Millennium Development Goals. The MDG focus on energy was really about access and there was never a mention on quality. And so what then happened was that a lot of the public investment were really focused on extending the grid to cover the population that were not covered. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But I think just expanding the grid without making sufficient investment into generation and also maintaining the grid to ensure that the quality of the service is maintained, it's not a good thing. And what you end up is a situation where the demand simply exceeds supply.
These are unintended consequences of people acting in what they hoped would be the best interests of the most people. So it hasn't worked out. Now, we have new evidence. You have provided it for the first time, this direct evidence on the impact of jobs. You work for the World Bank. When the World Bank speaks, people tend to listen. Do you think your additional evidence here, do you think it might move the needle on policy or maybe change the policy mix?
I believe so. Throughout the region, it's becoming evident that the youth are becoming impatient with the political leadership. Part of this is due to the rise in unemployment in the region. Part of this reason for the lack of jobs in the region is the productive sectors of the economy don't have access to stable power. If you are a policymaker and if you really care about solving the unemployment issue, then what my paper is showing you is that one of the things you really need to do is to fix your power sector, to try to make sure that you provide people with reliable access to electricity. Make sure you offer reliable and affordable power to the business community to be able to use for production, and then employment levels may increase in your countries.
If this problem is not solved, then what do you think's going to be the impact in the region?
That's a tough point. Tim, I'm optimistic that things will change. But like you said, if this doesn't change, then I think that economies in the region are really going to suffer. And a part of the reason is that they will become less competitive on global markets, right? So imagine a company in, say, in Ghana, where it doesn't have access to proper electricity, competing with its counterpart in Latin America for the same European market. These firms are going to be less competitive and unemployment will worsen. And to adopt a popular saying, which I would say, an unemployed man or woman is an angry man or woman.
Justice, thank you for talking to me about this today.
Thank you, Tim. It's a pleasure.
The paper is called Jobs, Electricity Shortages and Unemployment in Africa. And the author, Justice Tay Mensah. It was published in the journal Development Economics 167. That's a 2024 publication. This has been a VoxDev Talk. The best way to make sure you don't miss an episode is to subscribe on your podcast platform. Wherever you get your podcasts, well, you'll find us there. And our past episodes, as always, are at voxdev.org, where you will also find articles about the topics we feature.